Eastern broadcast is directed primarily toward Jews. It's directed primarily toward those who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. They believe he was a fraud and they believe he was a phony. The problem with the Jewish nation, and I start the broadcast out by saying, Ehati margishim viotai garabotai. How are you, ladies and gentlemen? I give them a few little expressions in Hebrew, and then I get into the heart of the message. Now, the problem that the Jews have is that they are still trusting in the law, keeping the commandments of God to go to heaven. Many people brand us and say, well, you don't think that the commandments of God are important. That isn't true at all. But we put them in their proper perspective. You can only keep the commandments of God if you have the Spirit living inside you. And if you don't have the Spirit living inside you, if you've never been born again, then any of your efforts are futile to keep the commandments of God. After you have received the Spirit of Christ, then you are a new creature in Christ. And the Spirit that is in you allows you to walk in the Spirit. You cannot walk in the Spirit until you have a new birth and receive the Spirit. Then your walk has something in it that involves a great deal of freedom. Do I still sin even though I have the Spirit of God living inside me? Well, unfortunately for me, in my flesh, there is still a carnal nature. He is enmity against God. Romans 8:8 says that. It says the carnal mind cannot serve God. Do I sin? Yes. I sin in my thoughts. Sometimes I get irritated. Sometimes I get jealous. Sometimes I get envious. Well, what do you do about it? Well, I have an advocate with the Father, an eternal advocate named Jesus Christ. I simply confess my sins and he forgives me. But how do I know he forgives me? He says in 1 John 1:8 and 9, if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I walk in the Spirit. When I do sin in the flesh, I ask God for forgiveness and I receive it. Now this is a part of a broadcast that we sent over to Europe. And so rather than just making these for Europe, I thought I'd put them on in Sunday school class. The promised seed of grace through faith and the commandments of God in the law. Let's look at what the Bible says about all this. The law represents the commandments of God found in the first five books of the Bible, which is referred to by the Jews as the Torah. When you hear someone in the Jewish faith say the Torah, what they mean is the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, and then it goes on into Exodus, then Numbers, then Leviticus, then Deuteronomy. That's the Torah. We call it the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible. Now, it's referred to as the Torah by the Jews, but a lot of Jews and Gentiles both call it the Pentateuch. So if you hear the expression the Pentateuch, it means the first five books of the Bible. If you hear the expression Torah, it means the first five books of the Bible. So the law represents the commandments of God found in the first five books of the Bible, which is referred to as the Torah by the Jews and as the Pentateuch by both Jew and Gentile. Now, we're going to talk about the simplicity that is in Christ. The promised seed of God is the messianic promise of a seed who would one day come to redeem all men from their sins. He was to come from a woman's seed and was to crush the power that Satan had gained over man through sin. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, God immediately established his plan of salvation, which has been valid and true down through all the ages. In Genesis 3:15, he stated, and I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, the devil, who had tempted Adam and Eve, or actually tempted Eve, put between thee and the woman being Eve, who was the mother of us all, and between thy seed, the seed of Satan. Satan has seed. They're called tares in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word that is used for them is bastard. It means they claim to be something, but they aren't. There are many religious people today who are sincerely following the wrong spirit and actually believe they're following God. Now, we're told here that this seed, when he came, between thy seed and her seed, the woman was to bring forth a seed. One day, out of the seed of a woman, in the future, there was to come a man-child. And that man-child was to do this, it shall bruise thy head. A serpent's power is in its head to strike, even if it isn't poisonous. If you bruise its head, it can't strike. And so the Lord, when he came, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was that promised seed, who came down through Seth, through Noah, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through David, through Judah, all the way down to Heli, who was the father of Mary, and was then Christ the seed was born of the Virgin Mary, whom God chose as that special woman, a simple hill woman who had her heart in tune with God's will for her life. It shall bruise thy head. That means he forever crushed the power of Satan to hold us in bondage because of sin. We're born in bondage under sin. We're born dead to God, but alive to the world and alive to the spirit of Satan. We are born under the dominating power of sin because of Satan, and Satan works through our flesh and controls our hearts and our lives. That's the power that Jesus broke that Satan had over us. It says, and thou shalt bruise his heel. When Christ came and walked upon this earth as a man, he was continually maligned, hated, and despised. And when he was finally arrested, when he came for his final Passover, he was beaten relentlessly and looked like a pulp of a man whenever he was crucified. And then he paid the price for our sins with his life. And indeed, his heel was bruised. But Satan only bruised his heel, and Christ then ascended after the resurrection. And now all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. Then God, after he unveiled his plan of salvation, showed us what the Messiah, the seed, was going to do unto Adam also and to his wife, that the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. He took innocent animals, took their innocent bodies, took their innocent blood, and they paid a price for man's sins that pointed to and pictured the sacrifice that would one day come to take away all sin. None of those animals' bodies and none of those animals' blood ever actually took away sin themselves. They hadn't had the power. They were a shadow, a picture, an illustration of what Christ would come and do. He would give his innocent body and his innocent blood as a total, complete sacrifice for all sin, and he would provide a covering, a kafar, an atonement for all men. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. So God said, look, I'm going to send a seed. That seed's going to provide the covering for you. You said, no, Brother Michael Murray, there has to be more to it than that. That's all there is. You said, no, you've got to be baptized. Well, then I guess Abel went to hell. I guess Noah went to hell. I guess Abraham went to hell. You say, well, no, Brother Michael Murray, you've got to keep the commandments of God. Well, I guess Abel went to hell. He didn't know what they were. I guess Noah went to hell. And I guess Abraham went to hell. They didn't have the law. The law and the commandments of God have nothing to do with salvation, nor do they have anything to do with keeping it. They have to do with walking in the Spirit after you receive the Spirit. After you receive the Spirit, as the Spirit directs you, as the Spirit guides you, as the Spirit leads you, and you obey it, then you are walking in the Spirit and obeying God. But when you follow the flesh and disobey God, then you have an advocate with the Father who has set you free, crushed the power of Satan to hold you in his grasp, and he forgives you of your sins. It's a very simple plan of salvation. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. But Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said he feared lest your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So let's just answer some questions according to what the Bible says. Can keeping the commandments found in the law, which is called the Torah and the Pentateuch, the Ten Commandments plus all the written ordinances that Moses wrote, can keeping the commandments found in the law, the Torah, the Pentateuch, justify a man before God? Can keeping the commandments of God justify a man before God? Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Some people say, well, I got saved when I was such and such an age, and I was saved, gloriously saved. I did this, I did that, I did this. But then I lost my salvation because I didn't keep the commandments of God after I got saved. Well, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You say, well, yeah, but that's different. No, it's not different. The deeds of the law didn't save you, and the deeds of the law don't keep you. The deeds of the law and the commandments of God are given so that his children, after they are born again, can serve God, and so they can have an advocate with the Father, and so that Jesus Christ can get all the glory because he lives within them. But that's very clear. Can keeping the commandments found in the law, the Torah, the Pentateuch, justify a man before God? Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, these are very simple principles. Now, let's examine this conclusion. The conclusion, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's examine this conclusion. It was drawn by a Hebrew of the Hebrews. It was drawn by the Apostle Paul in Romans 3:28. And he should certainly know about the things that have to do with the Old Testament. Here's, if keeping the commandments found in the law, the Torah, cannot justify a man, what plan did God institute to save him? Well, I've already shown it to you. You say it can't be that simple. That's because you don't understand grace. Grace is a very simple thing because man complicates everything. So here's the answer to the question. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's the plan that God instituted. Being justified freely by his grace and merited favor through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Remember the seed? Remember the simplicity that is in Christ in 2 Corinthians 11:3? How simple can you get? That's salvation. It hasn't changed, never has changed, never will change. Being justified freely, it's a free gift, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You don't see anything there about baptism. You don't see anything there about keeping the commandments of God. If you try to keep the commandments of God to be saved or to stay saved, you are trying to justify yourself before God. You can't justify yourself. Only Christ can justify you. That's what the Scripture says. That's what the Scripture means. Can keeping the commandments of God in the law, the Torah, make a man righteous before God? Now, these are plain, straightforward, simple Bible verses. Can keeping the commandments of God in the law, the Torah, make a man righteous before God? Can you make yourself righteous before God? Is it possible for you to do it? Notice what Paul said in Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If keeping the Ten Commandments gives you righteousness, if keeping the first five books of the Bible gives you righteousness, then Jesus died in vain. His sacrifice was worthless. Because if you can justify yourself before God, or add something to what Christ did, then you're saying that you have the ability to stand before God and say, I did this and I did that. You may try to stand there, but I guarantee you're going to end up at the wrong judgment seat. Those people who try to justify themselves in the flesh are going to end up before the great white throne judgment, and they're going to be cast into a lake of fire because they are trying to justify themselves before God, just like Adam and Eve. When they first sinned, they immediately tried to make their own covering with their own hands from the ground that was cursed, the actual fig leaf tree. And they tried to cover up what they were. And when God came, they ran and hid in the forest. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, salvation means you come out of the woods, acknowledge that you inherited this Adamic nature, that you are a sinner by birth and nature, and throw yourself upon the mercy of God that is in Christ Jesus and call on his name. You say, well, how does that have faith? You wouldn't pray to a dead man, would you? This is Easter. This is the time we celebrate as his resurrection. So you're praying to someone you believe is alive to save you, and you believe he can do it. Otherwise, you're going to try to add to what he did or take away from what he did. It won't work. It's totally, completely in Christ. One fellow told me one time, one preacher from another faith, he said, Brother McElroy, that's too good to be true. Oh, my goodness, it is too good. But it is true, because that's what grace is. And that's something that you really grow to love God for, because it is by grace and by his extreme mercy that he saved us. Was any man who ever lived able to perfectly keep the commandments of God in the law, the Torah, and show the world the full righteousness of God? Has there ever been a man who lived who perfectly kept the commandments of God in the law, and a man who kept all the law of Moses, I mean every jot and tittle, was there ever a man who in doing this showed the whole world what righteousness is, the full righteousness of God? Yes, there was. Romans 3:21, 22. But now, Paul writing about the life of Christ, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. You saw God come in a man. You saw God reconciling the world to himself in that man. You saw a man in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. And when he came, he was manifested. He was clearly visible, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What does it mean by the law and the prophets? Well, Moses in the law said he would come. He told the people of Israel, a prophet like unto me shall the Lord your God raise up. Him shall ye hear. And whosoever shall not hear that man, God will require it of him. So listen to what he says. He saves, not your righteousness. You don't have any. He's the only righteous man who ever lived, being manifest by the law and the prophets. All the prophets spoke of him. Isaiah so clearly in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So has any man ever lived who perfectly kept the commandments of God in the Old Testament? Yes. What was it he manifested? Even the righteousness of God, verse 22 in Romans 3, 21, 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and of all them that believe, and there is no difference. Some people just don't want to accept this. Why? There is an inkling in lost people, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. You can't just believe. I can't just believe that Jesus did it all. That's what grace is. And until you overcome that in your heart and just throw yourself upon the mercy of God in Christ, you'll never be saved. And until you come to him as a helpless sinner that cannot save himself and trust him, you're headed straight for hell. You say, well, what happens if I trust him and believe that he alone can save me? Then all of a sudden, when you ask him to save you, there's something new and there's something different. And for the first time, you can understand scriptures that in the past were a great mystery to you. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and to all and of all them that believe, there is no difference. I want you to notice what Jesus said about himself. We're talking about, was any man who ever lived able to perfectly keep the commandments of God in the Old Testament and show the righteousness of God? The law is God's standard of righteousness. If a man could keep it, would he inherit eternal life? Absolutely. Do I have proof of that? Yes. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And Jesus Christ was the only man who perfectly kept it. There was life in the law. But it was the standard of righteousness of God. And only God living in a man could keep it. And only Jesus Christ as that man kept it. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Listen, I love the first five books of the Bible. I love the law. I love the commandments of God. They're good. They're perfect. I have nothing against them at all. I love the writing of the Old Testament. I love the prophets. I love the commandments of God. I love everything about it. But I am a sinner in the flesh, even though God has saved and sealed my soul. I have a perfect spirit living in me. I have a terrible flesh, a carnal man in my outer man. And I, the soul that I'm speaking to you, am caught halfway in between. And one day I will follow the man in the flesh, and the next day I'll follow the spirit and in between. But when I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. And he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's why he came. One man sinned. And because of one man's sin, sin passed on all men. But that was the first Adam. And one man sinned, the first Adam, and sin was passed on to all of us. But then there came the second Adam, the last Adam, and that man was Christ. And that man did not sin, the only righteous man who ever lived. And by one, all were made righteous who would put their faith in him. I was made righteous by the blood of Christ, and he gave me his righteousness. Continuing with Matthew 5, 17 and 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You say, see there, the law is still in effect, and if you don't fulfill it in your life, you're going to hell. If you interpret that scripture that way, I seriously question whether or not you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because it's very clear as to what this means. Jesus said it, and Jesus meant it. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Well, I've got good news for you. You can't do it. But one man did. John 19, 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Tetelestai is the word. It means that it's finished in the past, it is finished in the present, it is finished in the future. And Jesus had fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law in heaven and earth had not passed away. And yet every single thing was fulfilled in Christ. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. If you could add anything to what Christ did, or if you could take away from anything that Christ did, you would be putting yourself in a co-role as the Savior of your soul. There's only one Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. There's only one way he saves, by your faith in his efforts, and you believe that he did enough to justify you before God. That's the only salvation I have. You say, that's too good to be true. No, that's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Why can't a man keep the commandments of God found in the law? Why can't I do it? Well, I've told you the story many times, so I won't bore you with it. I was raised by two fine Christian grandparents, and they taught me all about Jesus from the time I was knee-high to a grasshopper, right on up to 8 years old. And there was no question in my mind that Jesus was the Son of God. There was no question in my mind that God sent him. And there was no question in my mind that he was the most wonderful man who had ever lived. And I did everything I knew how from age 8 to 12 to try and not sin. I could not stop sinning. I could not stop lying when I got in trouble. All the things of the flesh were found in me, and I was dead in sin, but I didn't know it. Finally, at age 12, I realized why I couldn't keep the law. I had inherited the old Adamic nature. Why can't man keep the commandments of God found in the law? Romans 3, 23, then 10 through 12. Here's why nobody can keep them. It's because they're God's standard of righteousness. And man, with his inherited Adamic nature, cannot possibly keep it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The only man who ever lived that was righteous is Jesus. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I was seeking after God through the law from age 8 to 12. But you can't seek after God any other way than through Christ. And finally, when I got saved at age 12, I came to God through Jesus Christ and through his sacrifice, through his ability to keep the law, through his ability to forever cleanse me and provide me a blood covering for my sins. When God looks at me, he sees my justification in the blood that covers me. He sees my righteousness. Not as mine, but as the righteousness that I receive from Christ, and he imputes it to me. There's a tremendous freedom in this. Am I set free to sin? God forbid. Now, by the grace of God, when I do obey the law by the Spirit within me, the glory goes to Jesus Christ and not to myself. Before I knew Christ, there was no glory for God in me. There was no glory for Christ in me. But now, when I do obey God's commandments, I obey them by the Spirit. And Christ receives all the honor and glory for it, because it is Christ within me that now leads me to do it. So if a man can't keep the commandments of God found in the law, the Torah, first five books of the Bible, if a man can't keep the commandments of God, then why did God give it to man? Why would God give such a man? You didn't know how sinful you were. I didn't know how sinful I was. We come into the world, and as soon as we hit the air, we go, ah! We have no idea we're sinful. And finally, we go on up through age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We still don't know we're sinful. We don't know that we're selfish, self-centered, and we love our parents because they give us things to eat. We don't understand that. It's a form of human love. But we do it. We don't know how sinful we are. And when I was born, I was a cute little old baby, and my grandparents just thought I was the most wonderful thing in the world, that cute little old bouncing thing there. But that cute little old bouncing thing was going to grow up to be just what he was born as, a sinner. So why did God give the law? Because man is dumb. Just like dumb sheep. And the only way you're ever going to learn what a sinner you are is to try to keep the law of God. You'll do one of two things. You'll either sear over your own conscience with a hot iron and start actually believing you can keep the law. You'll sear over your conscience with a hot iron, and the Holy Spirit will never be able to reach your hard heart. That's what the Jews have done. They've seared over their hearts with a hot iron. Well, why did God give the commandments? Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, a teacher, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. After 4 years of trying to keep the law, I finally admitted to myself, to God, and to everyone present, I can't do it. And when I reached that understanding, then the Holy Spirit of God convicted me, you need a Savior. And then I turned to Jesus Christ, and I was justified by faith, not by the works of the law. Let's take a look at Romans 3:17 through 20. And the way of peace, have they not known? You look at the world today, they don't know the way of peace. Look at most of the things that are going on now on television. Television is fueling a lot of it. Look at all the ungodliness and the people that appear on television. Look at the ungodly generation in which we live. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Why don't they fear God? Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, why? That every mouth be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. These people have gone their own way. They have turned to their own gods and to their own flesh. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't fear God because they don't believe he exists. So they have blotted him out of their minds and out of their hearts. And they hide continually in the woods, just like Adam and Eve, and won't come out and won't even attempt to obey the commandments of God. They water them down. And so now they say, well, there's some human good in all of us. It's human good. It's not divine good. It's not spiritual good. It's the human being that loves the children because he begat them. It's all the other things. But that's not good in God's sight. Spiritual goodness is something that Jesus Christ manifested, that every mouth may be stopped, the world may become guilty before God. If you think you can go to heaven by your works, by keeping the commandments of God, I tell you when your mouth's really going to be stopped, when you stand at the judgment seat of Almighty God at the great white throne of judgment and find that you fell short, you found that you did not keep the commandments up to God's standard, and you're going to be cast into a lake of fire. You say, that doesn't seem fair. It's more than fair. God offered you grace. God offered you mercy. God offered you the righteousness of his Son. Yet you chose to add to the righteousness of Christ. You chose to do something that would help God to save you. Listen, God saves the helpless. God saves the helpless. And until people realize that, their mouth is not stopped, but it will be at the great white throne of judgment. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now think about that. I didn't write that. That was written under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Well, what's the purpose of the law? Here it is. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was a schoolmaster. It taught me how sinful I really am. I run into people all the time that don't think they're very sinful anymore because they got saved. But the more you understand of what God expects from you in life, and the more you understand about God and his Son's righteousness, the more sinful you become in your own eyes, and the more knowledge you have of what sin truly is. Now this verse says it very plain. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. I've had people tell me, oh, Brother McElmurray, that just means when you get saved. Now, after you get saved, you've got to keep doing it to justify yourself. No, you don't. You say, well, if people really believe that, then they wouldn't even serve God. That's quite incorrect. I do the very best by the power of God's Spirit within me to follow God. I try to worship God in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So don't tell me that a man will just completely run off and do anything he wants. But a man that's saved and has Christ in him is a man who the Spirit of Christ in him continually tries to get him to do right. And he's not going to go off into a deep, dark pit and never return. What does the law, the Torah, do to a man when he studies it? What does the first five books of the Bible, what does the Old Testament, the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and all the written ordinances, what does the law, the Torah, do to a man when he studies it? He either responds to it by being honest with himself and God, or he deceives himself by believing he can keep it by mustering all the power he has in his flesh. I can do it now. I'm saved, and now I'm just going to grit my teeth and I'm not going to sin anymore. You have deceived yourself You are trying to deceive God, and you are deceiving your fellow man. But you will not deceive God. Because I'm telling you, you cannot go through life without having an evil thought, without being judgmental, without being envious, without being jealous, without being hateful. And if you believe that you can, you have offended God to his face because you have declared that you can do the same thing his son did. And you cannot. You cannot live a godly life without God living in you. You can't do it. Now here's a man who correctly responded to the law. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? What is someone that has Christ in him? He's Christ-like. I hardly think that any of you would condemn the Apostle Paul as being an unrighteous man, because most of our teachings are based on the epistles that he wrote. So let me give you an example of a man who was a Christian, who was saved, who had the Spirit of God, and who is in heaven today. Romans 7, 12 through 14. The words of the Apostle Paul. Wherefore the law is holy, hagaso, set apart, and the commandment holy and just and good. Paul had no doubts about that, nor do I, nor should you. Wherefore the law, the Ten Commandments, and all the written ordinances, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. There's no question about that. But the problem is there is none good, no, not one. The problem is we are not righteous. The problem is we can't keep it. You say, but how do you know that? I learned it from God, from the law. That was the purpose of the law, to give me the knowledge of sin. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Did God give the law so I'd go to hell and forever be separated from it? No. God forbid, Paul says. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. You know how I discovered that I was not good? Do you know how I discovered I was born dead in sin? It was by the law, because I couldn't keep it. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. I saw the goodness in the law. I tried to keep the law. For 4 years I tried to keep the law, and I could not. Why? That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Some people, after they receive Christ, say, well, I'm saved now, so I don't sin anymore. I'm saved, so that's all behind me now, and I can serve God. That isn't true at all. When I first got saved, I didn't really honestly know how sinful I was. I was a frightened 12-year-old boy who thought lying to his grandmother, smoking corn silk out behind the barn, and taking an occasional look at Lulabeth Fox was sin. And indeed it was. But there's much deeper and more grievous sin than that. There's spiritual sin. And spiritual sin is having the audacity to believe that after God has saved you, you can live up to his standard of righteousness and live without sin. That is a blasphemy and an affront and an offense to God. And if you seal over your conscience with a hot iron, I would invite you to unseal it this morning and come to Christ. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Well, here I am, your pastor at age 68. Been here 27 years. And now, after 27 years here, I see myself as more exceedingly sinful than I ever did when I first came. I see myself as envious. I see myself as jealous. I determine more in my flesh and things about my flesh than I ever knew before. The law was indeed a sharp sword, able to divide asunder between flesh and body and spirit. Now I know what I am in the flesh. You say, well, you're not much good. No, I'm not, but Christ is living in me. And every time this flesh acts up, and every time this sin comes upon me, then I have an advocate that I run to for strength and for forgiveness. I've learned a lot of things about God's Word because I've had the Spirit of Christ living in me for 56 years. After you get saved and you study the Word of God, you begin to see that you are even more sinful than you thought. It just works that way. Romans 7, 12 through 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You know who wrote that? The Apostle Paul. You know when he wrote it? He'd been a Christian for some time. He didn't say, I used to be a sinner. He said, but I am. That's present, indicative, active. Ego, eimi. But I am carnal, sold under sin. He was still carnal, sold under sin. You say, well, it didn't really mean that. Well, then God must not have meant it, because that's the inspired word of God. Now, that's a man who was honest with himself. Here's a man who responded by deceiving himself. Paul was honest about it. He knew the law was spiritual, but he was still carnal in the flesh, sold under sin, and he still realized he was exceedingly sinful in the flesh, and he acknowledged it and admitted. That's a Christian. Luke 18, 7, 9 through 14. Here's a man who responded by deceiving himself. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, There's a whole lot of people meeting this morning right now in buildings just like this that believe they can live above sin and believe they are righteous. And they actually believe that, and they sincerely believe it, but they are sincerely wrong. They trust in themselves. He spake this parable to certain men which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. They can't stand people that believe in salvation by grace. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Here's the man who responded by deceiving himself to the convicting power of God's Spirit. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee. Look at all these eyes. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I. Unless that man repented of his sins and turned to Christ before he died, he's in hell today. And yet he went through his whole life trying to keep the law and was very sincere and honest about it. And he said, I thank thee. I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. Lord, I'm doing what I can. I'm doing what you said. Now, Lord, I expect you to save me. It won't work. Now, here's a man that's honest with himself and God. This is a man that's honest with himself and God. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here I am, 68 years old, and I'm still crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You exalt yourself when you have the audacity to believe that you can keep the law now that you're saved. You exalt yourself. You should be exalting Christ, and you will exalt Christ if you believe he's the one that kept it for you. So that's the Sunday school lesson for this morning. And we'll just